This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. My next guest in the studio is Tony Walker. Tony is the CEO of Ambulance Victoria. We are discussing the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission report into Ambulance Victoria. 261 pages. Welcome, Tony.
Morning, Macca.
Thank you for coming in, particularly on your, on a weekend. Look, I wanted to... There are lots of awful things in the report, and we'll touch on some of those. But there's also some statements by people, and I'd like to reference one out because I think this goes to the heart of, I think, where I see and what paramedics have said to me and other people. So I'm quoting from the report. This is from a respondent. I think it's about trust. Some people talk about values and they're written on the bottom of email signatures and they're on the board at the branches. And everyone, and that's ambulance branches, and everyone knows what they are. What the five values of Ambulance Victoria are. So they're talked about, but people's lived experience doesn't reflect it. It's about trust. So you can tell us till the cows come home that we value integrity and we value trust or whatever. But if people go to work and they don't experience that, then it's a very different experience for them. Now, that's a pretty shocking thing to say, is that what they're saying is there's no trust.
Mm. The report, I think, if I was looking for a word, Macca, that highlights the report in sort of a toto, it is that lack of trust and respect. It comes through very clearly right the way through the report.
So, Tony, people talk about, and again, and I'll paraphrase from the report here rather than read it out completely, but a number of participants told the commission they'd made formal complaints. The experience didn't make them feel safe. They felt they were left without support. They were traumatised by the process. And the most frequent barrier to making a formal complaint was a fear that no action or change would result from doing so. And sorry, I just want to, on top of that, I got from a listener, what processes are you going to change and put in place to ensure that staff do trust the system to fix the measures? Because people don't feel that the system there is listening to them or is hearing them. And their overwhelming response is, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, so when you look at the report calls out a number of things for us to do. One of them is creating an environment where people do feel safe coming forward, because without that, we can't hear the stories of our people and make changes, deal with the individuals that might be there. So that's the first fundamental piece we need to do. In building trust, people also need to see these actions. So, this year, just to give you an example, we've terminated four staff. One staff member resigned during investigation. I reported matters to Vic Police and to IVAC when they come up. But our staff don't hear that. So one of the things the Commission does call out is that if they can't see that there's been consequences to the actions of individuals who've done these unlawful behaviours, then they're speaking to others who are saying, well, I didn't feel I got the outcome I wanted, then I can understand why people would say, well, don't bother, there's no benefit, you don't see anything happen. So part of the work we will be doing, because it's a recommendation of the Commission, is to in a de-identified way, make it clear what's happening when these things are happening, that there are actions taken at various levels of disciplinary action up to and including termination, and But that's not visible to our workforce. And so that's one of the things we have to do, as well as obviously creating that safe place where people feel they can come forward in a victim-centric way. So I think, you know, investigative processes, good people, you know, we've set up processes with good people who've tried to do good things here, but the report highlights strongly they're not as victim-centric as they need to be. And, you know, there's a significant piece of this report that outlines for us how we need to roll out a workplace harm unit, however so known, which, you know, will be reported. Libby, you might want to speak to her a bit more about that later. But it is actually creating a place where people can come and talk about what they're looking for in a safe and victim-centric way.
Okay. Because one of the, I suppose, and again, you know, I've thought of a lot of questions and I've read the report and, you know, but I'm, you know, I've had feedback from paramedics. And, you know, I asked them all to message me this morning and they messaged us on air. And one of them is, can you ask Tony, how do you feel that a number of paramedics who know I was going to be talking to you today, but they're choosing not to listen? As they say, they've heard it all before. Many, many reports over many years. And that nothing's changed. So what do you say to them? You know, that obviously the ones that are listening, they'll hear your answer, but others, you know, from the podcast. There's this overwhelming feeling, Tony, you know, I understand, you know, these are the changes we need to make, and we'll get onto those when we speak with Libby shortly, but that nothing's going to change. This is not new in Ambulance Victoria. These are people that have made complaints, that have raised concerns, and they say nothing has changed, that the people who they've raised these with are still there, and they're the ones that are going to fix it. How does that work?
Well, first up, I can understand when you read that report and you read the depth of the issues raised, why people would feel that nothing's changed. Mac, I suppose from my perspective, what I'd say is that we did work about 5 or 6 years ago where issues of bullying were brought up through a government work of APPCC, as you may recall. And we put in changes then that that we felt were, in consultation with unions and others at the time, would make a difference. Now, clearly they haven't hit the mark, and the report says that. So, and what the report gives us that we didn't have before is the depth of the rationale of why. So I think, you know, we can go on and do things, but without understanding why these things are occurring, and the report does highlight that, they're the fundamental things we need to change. The other thing I think that's called out strongly in the report is this principle of co-design. So it reads through and it's fully part of the recommendations. So the work we do going forward, it will be co-designed with our staff, with the unions, with experts sitting around the table with us every step of the way. As the Commissioner said earlier, the Commissioner will be a critical friend. The Commission will be a critical friend through this work. And we locked in at the beginning of this an audit. Yeah. So that we can be held to account about delivering those things. So I understand why people would feel that way. We need to create the place where they feel safe coming forward with those complaints. We need to, and we need to put in place then changes that, to be honest, until they see those changes, I understand the scepticism, and I appreciate it. And you know, right now these are just words. And I understand people. And I've had people say that to me. You know, they're just words. In my defence, maybe the best use that word, as an organisation, you've been part of our journey for a while.
I have.
You know that. You know, we've made fundamental change when we see things need to be done. We didn't understand this. Now, there's absolutely every reason for people to say, well, you should have. And I acknowledge that. And, you know, the board are the same. We've been, you know, testing and challenging ourselves over this last 12 months. What was it we were not seeing that told us the depth of this? And you know, the rationale or the strong feedback through the report is people did not feel safe coming forward, and therefore you were not seeing the full story. We knew we had issues. I mean, we dealt with issues, as I said before, we've been dealing with them as they come up, but the depth of it and the everyday incivility, the everyday sexism, the everyday disrespect, are things,
I mean,
that come
sexual
through.
Sexual assault.
Absolutely. It is
sexual
criminal.
Sexual assault.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Look, I'm sorry, we've got Libby Murphy. Libby's the Chief Operating Officer from Ambulance Victoria. And welcome, Libby, your first time on Joy. It's a great pleasure to speak to you. How are you today?
Very good, thank you, Macca. How are you?
Okay. You've probably been listening to the last little bit of that. Look, I had a particular question for yourself. You've come to Ambulance Victoria from Victoria Police about 6 or 7 months ago. Now, there was a similar report, not of the same nature, but by Equal Opportunity Human Rights Commission on Victoria Police. Is there something about these organisations and the way that they treat their people? What is it that has allowed, you know, the issues at Victoria Police, some of them quite different, but also Ambulance Victoria, what is it about the systems? What is it about the people? What light can you possibly shed on that?
If I knew the answer to that, Macca, yes. I think I'd be a very, very rich person. But the thing that disturbs me is, and I think the bit that underpins all of it, is just a complete lack of respect for people. And I'm not sure the causal factor of that, but I absolutely am committed to ridding Ambulance Victoria of that disrespect that exists. And for me, it underpins everything. And, you know, we talk about criminal offending, we talk about unlawful conduct in terms of discrimination and victimisation, and we talk about lack of respect. But at the end of the day, lack of respect underpins every single one of those things.
So having seen, as I said, Libby, and I know you can't answer for Victoria Police, but you were there for some of the time of that report and what Victoria Police were doing. And I assume some of that will inform you what you do at Ambulance Victoria. But you know, you've said there's this lack of respect. That has come out so clearly in every single complaint people have made. What underpins it is a lack of respect and a process that is broken, a process that people don't trust. And when people come out the other end of that, they overwhelmingly say, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't know why I bothered, because nothing happened. I'm the person who's complained, but I am the victim and I continue to be the victim, and the people that do this to me, there are rarely consequences. Is that a fair comment?
Absolutely. If you read the report, it is absolutely a fair comment. And I am buoyed to some degree, but my email has been running hot. And so I probably want to thank the people who've come forward to tell their stories again and who've trusted in me, some who are part of the Commission's report. So I'm grateful that they've trusted me enough to come forward again. But I, hand on heart, will assure you that people will be held to account for behaviours if there has been poor behaviours. Criminal behaviours will be reported to Victoria Police. But the bit that I need to navigate and understand is how I can support the people who've experienced these behaviours, the people who've lived these terrible, terrible experiences, and that's the bit that I need to get right.
So how do we do that, Libby and Tony? I mean, I don't know the figure, but I know it's pretty high. You've got a very significant number of paramedics and others on work cover from PTSD. And a lot of that PTSD, yes, is the nature of the work and the shocking things that people see. And I don't want to, make that less of an issue. But the report, you know, deals with people being really badly impacted and not being able to work because of the environment that they work in, you know, the mental health challenge that this causes. So if I can ask Tony, you know, you've got a lot of people out there that don't feel they can come back to the organisation because of what they've experienced. How do you help them? How do you get them back? Before you even work on the people that are still there, how do you get them back, Tony?
So, Macca, I think this comes down to the restorative justice process that will be, as a recommendation, will be implemented as part of this work, to enable people to, through a very structured way, both share their stories with senior leaders in the organisation and for us to work through what they're looking for as an outcome as part of that. So that is that's a place, and you know, certainly Libby might want to talk to this from Victoria Police's point of view. But that was probably one of the strongest recommendations that when I'm speaking to the Commission, that because it becomes a place for people to be heard and to work through an outcome for them, whatever that outcome is, and that's individual to them. So that's an important piece for us. And I agree with your comment before. I mean, if you look at all the research, workplace factors are often the biggest driver of mental health issues in organisations, not in our emergency service organisations, not necessarily the work, and that's called out by some of the case studies clearly.
Yes.
In the review. So it is about one, putting in prevention, and I'll give you an example just maybe to help with this a bit. The work we've done around occupational violence, the work we've done around manual handling, etc., the preventative piece.
Yeah.
This is about prevention. This is about not being the ambulance at the bottom of a cliff catching people into the future. This is about how do we create a workplace, as Libby talked about, that is that every interaction is respectful, and that people who are not one of the things in the review is around values.
Yeah.
You mentioned values before. So if you look at the values for our organisation, I agree with the person who wrote the comment in the commission. They have become words on paper, and we've drifted. We've drifted away from them as an organisation. And so one of the key recommendations is about co-designing new values that we are all signing up to and held to account to. So it is about how do you create that workplace with respect, that there are consequences when people aren't here. We're hearing the stories, and we'll continue to hear the stories of our people. But they will, until they see the actions that come through that tell them their workplace is different, as I said before, they have every right to feel sceptical, and I understand that.
So, Libby, would you like to comment or add to that?
Yeah, I think Tony's spot on with the restorative justice and restorative engagement piece, and I've certainly been a part of that within Victoria Police, and the really important thing about that is actually listening to people's stories and the outcomes that they need to heal. And different people want different things, and that's okay. But it's the healing journey that we take the people who've experienced these behaviours or these criminal acts or the disrespect, and how we choose a course that gives them the best outcome.
Okay. Can I ask, and whichever one of you wants to jump in and answer this first, because Libby, for our listeners, Libby's on the phone and Tony's in the studio. So how will the community know what you're doing? What accountability measures are you putting in place? And when I say the community, I don't just mean the ambulance community. I mean the wider community, because I suspect that the wider community out there has got a few concerns about Ambulance Victoria. Now, they won't have all read the 261 pages, but so how are you going to be accountable, but how are you going to report back? What's going to be the process, both for your staff and for the wider community, as to what you're doing? So whichever one wants to jump in first.
If Libby's happy, I might go first, but again, she might want to as well.
Sure.
I think this is about transparency, Macca. So, and from the beginning of this report, you know, we engaged the commission within 24 hours of hearing those stories last year, and we locked in with the commission that this report will be made public, that wasn't just to Ambulance Victoria, couldn't go on a draw, couldn't be something we just shared internally. It was public, and as I mentioned earlier, we will be audited by the commission in 18 months' time. So the public will see.
In 18 months' time? Not a monthly, you know, you won't
well,
be...
Well, we'll be reporting internally to our staff, absolutely. I mean, so as we design this piece of work in line with what the commission has recommended, our workforce will be instrumental as part of this. And our workforce are part of the community. As you know, our workforce are happy to share their views of our organisation and their experiences. They'll be sharing those views, and as an organisation, you know, we haven't worked through exactly how we do it, but I can't see a reason why we wouldn't have public updates along that journey. I know some other reviews have done that as well. It's about transparency. It is about absolute honesty, where we're at with these things. You know, so as we do some of this work, the commission have said to us, you may see things that you might want to change within this and talk to us about that. We'll be upfront about that. It may be the recommendation, actually, as we're doing it, hasn't quite hit the mark with what our workforce needs. So, again, we'll have our workforce, we'll have a reference group of our workforce a part of this work. They'll be part of the governance committees. They'll be engaged fully.
And where will they report to?
As in the...
Yeah, so those committees, those workplace
committees,
absolutely. Where will they report to?
Ultimately, so I'm chairing the workplace reform group, and I report to the board.
Okay.
So ultimately, I report to the board, and the board will hold me to account for delivery of these recommendations.
Right. So Libby, did you want to please add to that?
Yeah, only to say that absolutely we are serving the community. We are supposed to represent the community, so I think we should report externally, not in a formal fashion, but I think we have a responsibility to report and to be out there and to be active so that people know what we're doing and that we're tracking against the recommendations. But I think the biggest story will come from our workforce. When they feel supported, I'm hopeful that they will talk. They don't necessarily need to talk about their experiences, but I'm hopeful that they will trust us enough and that we will deliver and walk it and not just talk it.
Mm. Okay. I've got another one here. I'm getting messages. Your service level might be down a bit today, Tony. I think there might be a few paramedics listening in. And for either of you, but I'd actually like a response from both of you, mm-hmm. and I've sort of touched on this before, but it says, how can any person who works for Ambulance Victoria, who's experienced firsthand or has witnessed, you know, this bullying, discrimination, victimisation, sexual harassment and assault, and they've observed how ineffective the reporting and complaints procedure has been. So how can they have faith in you, Tony, and mm-hmm. your management team mm. to implement the fix, mm. right? And I use the word loosely, mm. the fix. Mm. To implement the fix when this has been going on for a very long time and, you know, I accept you haven't been aware of the complete extent of it because of the problems with the reporting mechanism, but it also that, you know, how can people trust you and your team to implement the change that's needed? That's the hardest, well, you know, normally I would put it another way. But how do you, you know, why should people trust you?
Yeah, it's a very fair question, Macca. And I think, first up, we're not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. So this isn't myself and the executive team sitting around making these changes. We will have people around the table that have got deep expertise in this area helping us with this work. So I think that's the first thing. It'll be transparent. So people will see what we're doing and we'll be able to feedback on it and be co-designed. So they'll be part of what we develop both through the first volume and second volume, which will be more transformational about what the workforce needs to look like. So and I say, you know, I've got a track record of delivering change when we've seen issues that have been there. And I'm held to account for this at the end of the day, Macca. And, you know, if I don't deliver these recommendations, I don't deserve being the job. I mean, I'm committed to doing it. You know, if I didn't think I was up to it, I wouldn't be here. I've got to say that. I mean, I've reflected on my position over the last 12 months. You know, it's been deeply disturbing to read these stories and to hear these stories directly because people have reached out to me and shared these stories with me at a time when this organisation has never been under such significant pressure with COVID and everything else. It's deeply personal. My life is part of this organisation. I've been part of it for 35 years. I genuinely believe with the support and what we have today that we can make the change we can make and I can lead that. If I didn't feel that, I would leave. Okay. That's probably the honest answer I can give you. I've reflected on that and whether I'm the right person to take this forward. I've discussed it with people I trust. I'm committed to making these changes. And if at any point through this journey I feel that I'm the wrong person for this, I'll leave.
Okay. Libby, you up for it too?
Absolutely. So for me, and Tony's talked about his track record, I think what I bring is, you know, the independence. And I said this, I know no one, I owe no one, but I never have operated in that space anyway. I've got a track record. I've put police in jail through investigations on corruption task forces. You know, I've delivered against a number of recommendations out of the Family Violence Royal Commission, you know, establishing family violence teams. And I think I bring a wealth of experience in terms of particularly around gendered bias and intersectionality and you know, the experiences that people within our workforce are going to feel. I'm absolutely committed to change. We've already recruited an interim director who starts on Monday, who I have complete and utter faith in delivering in relation to the Workplace Harm Unit. And I'm hopeful that the stories that are told, we give the due respect to listening, you know, resetting ourselves and actually understanding the impact we've had on people, but ultimately holding people to account.
Thanks, Libby. And finally, look, I want to thank Ro Allen and her team for this. You know, for Tony, you know, to come in and face up to the questions. And I know you haven't done a lot of media this well, not as much as you've been asked to do. Mm. So I appreciate the fact that, you know, you've made the time to come in and speak to us. As you know, this has been an issue that I've been passionate about, not just because my partner's a paramedic. I think Ambulance Victoria is one of the most valuable organisations Victoria has. I do feel it's lost its way. I actually think the joint is close to broken on the basis of what people say to me. I want it fixed. The community wants it fixed. The government want it fixed. The staff want it fixed. You say you want it fixed. When you first read this report, Tony, what was, you know, how do you say, I don't want to put words into your mouth, how do you say sorry to the staff?
Mm.
What do you say, you know, is your final statement today, and I know we will speak to you at least once a month as we move forward on this. How do you say sorry to people? I'm sorry to ask you to do
no,
that, but,
not
but
at all. Not
how
at all.
Do you, how do you do it?
Well, for me, when this first came out, you know, I unreservedly apologised to our staff this week, and I mean it, it's from my heart. You know, at the end of the day, you know, the people have been harmed in an organisation under my watch and under others' watch before me. But as the commission said, this isn't a historical issue. This has been here for many of the reports have been the last 5 years, so it's not a historical issue. So for me, it is about apologising, as I have done, and to be honest, for that apology to have meaning, then they have to see the change that comes from the recommendations coming in. Otherwise, they're just words.
Yeah. Okay. Tony, thank you, and Libby, you must come in and see the Joy Studio.
I will. Apologies, I'm not there today. It's my mum's 75th birthday.
So I know.
But next time I'll be there in person.
Wish her happy 75 from us. And as I said, I know for people this has been a difficult discussion. It's been a difficult discussion in the studio. I want to thank you, everyone who's contributed to this report, all the people who are feeling pain. You have been heard. You have been heard. The task now is, you know, to make Ambulance Victoria a better place for all of you and to meet the expectations of the community and of the staff.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.